So more laws that can affect whether a person can be disciplined or fired or otherwise action taken against them because of their speech. And again, remember that also includes display or gestures or other types of actions is anti-discrimination laws. And the reason I bring up anti-discrimination laws is obviously not just because of the idea of consistent enforcement. So in other words, if you're going to discipline a person who is under 40, or over 40, you're going to want to discipline the person who's under 40 as well, or whatever the protected class may be. The reason I bring this up is because really everything is political. And I'm going to repeat that throughout, because almost every issue that a person communicates about that we perceive as political can come back and relate to a protected category. Okay? So thinking along the lines of immigration, of marital equality, of reproductive rights, all of these different types of things can impact these anti-discrimination laws. Also, a company has a harassment prevention obligation, right? So whatever the protected category may be, the employer has to enforce a right to work free from harassment, you know, subject to the usual standards there. So there, when you're balancing free speech or the idea of speech, an employer has to take into account what could be implicated in a anti-discrimination law. Federal and state whistleblower laws also might be implicated, depending on the topic that people are talking about. I'm thinking particularly around the subject matter that's hot topic right now, which is safety. You know, this lawsuit that was filed against Smithfield, if that had been conversations that were happening in the workplace or where employees were speaking up about that, that could be a whistleblower law. There can also be claims based on if a person is discharged or discriminated against based on their conduct or their speech. There could also be claims in some jurisdictions that that discharge violates public policy. Again, if an employee is speaking out and questioning an employer's safety practices with respect to COVID-19, or another pandemic or other safety, health and safety issue, not only could that be an OSHA issue or a NLRA issue, but it could be a question of what's the public policy here if they're trying to protect patients, consumers, visitors, customers, not just employees. So there could be a public policy claim as well there. So with all of that taken into account, technically, a political viewpoint or a party affiliation is not a protected category under federal law. There are some states that we'll get to and jurisdictions we'll get to in a minute. But I've had that question before where an employer says, oh, you know, most of the people in my workplace are Republican leaning, and this person feels that they're being treated differently because they're a Democrat or because they vote for, they've expressed a desire to vote for whoever the Democratic candidate might be. They feel retaliated against, they feel harassed, they feel that it is a hostile work environment on their political viewpoint or their party affiliation. And my answer to that is always, well, technically that's not a protected category where we live. We're in Texas, right? It's not a protected category to be a Republican or a Democrat or a libertarian or a liberal or a conservative, whatever variety of that you may be. That said, though, as I mentioned before, everything is political. I mean, almost for a minute and think, for you right now, what is your most hot button political issue? And think about what potential protected category that could connect to. Religion? Is it national origin? Race? Could it be, you know, another protected category, right? Also can lead to harassment or discrimination claims because of that relationship to a protected category. So whenever I'm speaking with employers about this, we always make sure to talk about, well, what's the bottom line dispute here? Why do they feel like it's a hostile work environment? Well, it's because, you know, these employees are, you know, supporters of this candidate, and they're saying ugly things about the candidate of this other employee's choice. What are those ugly things, right? Is it because of that person's race or gender? Or is it just a qualifications issue, right? So you have to get down into the meat of it to decide, is this something that's protected? But here's where I usually suggest pressing pause for the employer and the employee questioning it and say, what are we really concerned about here? You know, we're really concerned about our ability as either an employee or a company to get good work done. Okay. So if things have gotten to the point that they are distracting, that relationships have been damaged such that people can't work with each other well, then what we're looking at is a workplace that's experiencing a lack of respect and understanding. And so if an employer can approach these issues with an eye towards, okay, you've got your opinion, you've got your opinion, we're going to focus here on how to treat each other respectfully so that we can get our work done. Okay. That's generally, it's not an easy button. You know, many times people just want to say, can we have a draconian policy and say no politics in the workplace? I mean, you can, but it's sort of like back in the day when people used to have a no personal use of the internet policy, that was pretty hard to enforce. It's pretty hard to enforce that consistently. And in treating people the same, if you've got, you know, your CEO is on ESPN.com all day checking scores, and then you discipline somebody else for going on eBay, you know, what are we really disciplining them for, right? It's the lack of efficiency, probably, depending on what they're selling on eBay, I guess. So just knowing that the draconian policy, technically, you could probably do it, and at least in a private employer, it's probably not going to be the best choice because it's be very difficult to enforce. So if people can step back from that and look at how do we create a respectful workforce, how do we manage these conversations such that they don't result in damage, that's going to be a much more practical approach. And I think that, you know, even though I am a management side lawyer, and most of my counseling